Moscow's rain-slick streets hide secrets in every shadow. For Mila Mikhailov, these secrets are deeply personal, fragments of a mother she never knew, contained in worn photographs and cryptic letters. Her search for answers quickly spirals into danger when she's cornered in a dimly lit alley, only to be rescued by Ronin Sokolov. Tall, tattooed, and terrifying, he addresses her as Moy Kitionik, my kitten, with an edge of possession that should frighten her, but instead awakens something primal. Despite every instinct screaming caution, Mila finds herself drawn to this enigmatic man whose green eyes hold volumes of unspoken stories. What begins as a chance encounter soon evolves into a dangerous dance of attraction and power, one that will force Mila to question everything she thought she knew about herself, her family, and the nature of love itself. Their relationship evolves through an intricate power play of attraction and suspicion. During a tense Moscow car ride, their debate reveals opposing worldviews. Ronin, shaped by the criminal underworld, sees life as a brutal game where trust equals weakness, while Mila defends her belief in human goodness. "Your soft heart makes you vulnerable," he warns, tracing her cheek. "Not everyone deserves your trust, Kitionik." Tension culminates in Mila's first kiss, transforming Ronin's amusement into fierce possession. His expertise contrasts with her innocence as she clutches his shoulders, craving more. Though Ronin maintains physical control, Mila's genuine responses create cracks in his carefully maintained facade. What elevates this beyond typical captive-captor dynamics is Mila's active participation. Though aware of his criminal connections, she pursues their connection from a complex mixture of attraction, curiosity, and determination to uncover her mother's secrets. This agency within constraint creates a fascinating psychological dance where vulnerability becomes its own form of strength. Everything changes when Mila discovers Ronin's true identity. After witnessing him torture a man in his basement, methodically breaking fingers with eerie calm, she learns he is Dyavol, the feared Russian mafia boss. The betrayal cuts deep, every tender moment now tainted. Ronin has been orchestrating their relationship, recording intimate encounters as leverage against her father. Captive in Ronin's mansion, Mila confronts uncomfortable truths. Her father isn't the loving businessman she knew, but a high-ranking mafia member with a violent past. Long-suppressed memories surface, particularly of watching through banister rails at age 7 as her father murdered a blonde woman, her pearl necklace scattering across the floor. With horror, Mila realizes the victim was likely her mother. These revelations trigger an identity crisis. "I realize love is a greedy monster without morals," she reflects, seeing how blind loyalty made her ignore warning signs. Her self-image crumbles as she questions whether her goodness was ever real or merely a shield against her family's darkness. Despite her imprisonment, Mila finds strength in vulnerability. When Ronin threatens to kill Kaus, the dog who bit her, she places herself between them, crying, "You don't throw things away just because they hurt you." This emotional honesty creates the first crack in his hardened exterior. Learning of Ronin's childhood trauma, nearly drowning after his drug-addicted mother drove into the Moskva River, Mila sees beyond his monstrous facade to the wounded boy beneath. This understanding gives her leverage physical strength never could. Ronin's obsession with Mila grows beyond his control, threatening his position and revenge plans. "Am I that easy to leave?" he asks, revealing his insecurity. Mila struggles to reconcile her self-image as a good person with her attraction to a violent criminal, while Ronin confronts emotions that challenge his identity as Moscow's unfeeling devil. Their relationship becomes a mirror, reflecting their true selves, forcing both to face denied aspects of their personalities. Perhaps what we all fear most isn't someone seeing our darkness, but seeing it and staying anyway. Physical desire serves as both catalyst and mirror for deeper emotional transformation. When Mila first experiences sexual pleasure with Ronan, it represents an awakening to previously unknown parts of herself. Her inexperience contrasts with his expertise, yet she discovers power in vulnerability. During one charged encounter, Ronan challenges her to count down from 30 seconds, confident he can make her orgasm before she reaches zero. She barely makes it to 15, symbolizing their relationship dynamic, his absolute certainty against her struggle for control. These intimate moments also expose Ronan's unexpected tenderness. Despite his violent nature, he shows surprising consideration for her pleasure. When he discovers she's a virgin, he initially stops, declaring he doesn't fuck virgins, a moment of restraint contradicting his monstrous image. Their physical relationship evolves alongside their emotional one. After an intense experience, Ronan whispers in Russian, "Sometimes it hurts to look at you," revealing how her beauty affects him profoundly. Through physical intimacy, they express feelings they cannot yet name, their bodies communicating truths their words cannot. Family legacies and generational trauma shape both protagonists' stories. Mila's discovery that her father is a Russian mafia member forces her to reconsider her childhood, particularly the memory of witnessing him kill a woman. Red paint leaking under the library door, staining her stuffed bunny, showing how violence marks generations. Ronan's trauma differs but is equally defining. Raised by a drug-addicted mother who once tried to drown him in the Moskva River, he learned survival required ruthlessness. At 8, he returned to their squalid apartment, found his mother unconscious, and flushed her drugs, already shouldering adult responsibilities. Despite different circumstances, both were failed by their parents. In Paris, Mila's grandmother Estelle reveals that Mila's mother, Tatiana, couldn't love normally, raising the question, will Mila inherit this trait? Will Ronan continue the cycle of violence? Their relationship, despite its darkness, offers a chance to break these generational patterns. By acknowledging rather than denying their family legacies, they gain the possibility of transcendence. Perhaps the most profound rebellion is recognizing our inheritance without being defined by it. At its heart, this story follows two people discovering their authentic selves through connection. Mila begins defined by external expectations, valedictorian, cheer captain, volunteer, with goodness as her identity. Through Ronan, she discovers her capacity for darkness, passion, and moral complexity. "I realize the darkness within myself that longs for the devil," she acknowledges after kissing another man, but feeling nothing compared to her desire for Ronan. This self-awareness transforms her goodness from prescribed to chosen. Similarly, Ronan recognizes his capacity for tenderness despite his violent nature. When he admits, "If this was what they called love, then I'd own it. I never did anything half-ass," he accepts long-denied vulnerability. Their journey culminates in mutual choice. Ronan's proposal includes conditions respecting her autonomy, showing his growth. Mila's raven tattoo on her ring finger symbolizes how her journey through darkness has fundamentally changed her. Perhaps the most profound temptation isn't darkness itself, but the promise that within it, we might finally be truly seen and accepted for who we are.